26. Caleb. Caleb got back to his feet, stumbling toward the bridge. He put his arm out as the dropship started banking, the movement smooth enough not to adversely affect his balance. He continued on to the bridge, reaching it as they leveled out again. He didn't have access to the doors, so he pounded on them. Pyro, it's Card. The door slid open. Caleb entered, surprised to find a new face in the pilot's seat. He glanced up at Caleb as he entered. Who are you? Caleb asked. I could ask you the same thing, the pilot replied. Colonel Caleb Card, Space Force Marines. Sergeant Ryan Bennett, sir. But you aren't a Centurion. Caleb opened his mouth to explain, at the same time his eyes tracked to the displays. He could see they were approaching a city overrun with Jaxcluth. A tank sat at one end of the street near a half-destroyed wall. An APC was moving west to east toward a group of aliens, and a small group of cars were firing machine guns at incoming enemies. What the hell is going on? Caleb asked. Sinisco, Bennett replied, as if that explained the entire situation. In a way, it did. Sinisco was Sheriff Duke's home settlement, and Veidt's request was to kill Sheriff Duke along with General Stacker and everyone else opposing him. It spoke volumes to Caleb that the Axon didn't think this group of Jaxcluth was sufficient to complete the task. But what did Sheriff Duke have that Veidt feared? What did any of them have? It was something he'd had no time to think about, and judging by the looks of things below, he still wouldn't. The scene below was chaos, an apparent rescue effort gone very, very wrong. Their forces were split up and surrounded, fighting in small pockets that had no chance of surviving individually. We should take the ship and leave. The idea tempted the part of Caleb that had merged with the Advocate. The fight on the ground appeared lost, and if they tried to help, they would wind up dead too. But he hadn't denied both Nyarlath and Veidt's overtures to turn around and abandon Sheriff Duke, General Stacker, and their people. These were the kind of warriors he needed if he was going to quell the coming storm. You can't help them. He had to help them. Whatever it took. Colonel, are you with me? Bennett asked. He wasn't looking at Caleb anymore. His focus returned to his upcoming strafing run. Bennett, how much power does the dropship have? Caleb asked. Reactors are at 35%. How much power does it take to get from here to Proxima? Bennett snapped his head toward him. Depends. Why? You'll drain the ship's batteries too far. It won't be able to fly out of the city, never mind off the planet. Caleb bit his lip, shaking his head. Never mind. He glanced up at the displays again. If he could siphon some of the dropship's power to his intellect skin, he could do a lot more to help fight this threat. His eyes scanned the displays when he noticed a blue flash out of the corner of his eye. It drew his attention instantly, and he took a few steps further onto the bridge to get a closer look. Is that? It appears to be. An Axon intellect. It was standing close to Sheriff Duke, helping him fight the largest Jaxcluth he had ever seen. A fight that wasn't going well. He watched as a colossal tentacle snapped out at Sheriff Duke, catching him in the chest and throwing him 5 meters back into a wall. Two more tentacles reached for the intellect, only to shrink back when a globe of blue energy flared out from it, severing the end of the limbs. It's helping him, Caleb said, surprised and confused. It has a strong power supply, enough to recharge the dropship. Which meant he could drain it somewhat. Bennett, pull up and prepare to come back around. Give me 60 seconds. Sheriff Duke might not live another 60 seconds. Colonel, what are you thinking? 60 seconds, Caleb repeated. Just do it. That's an order. Bennett smirked. It was an odd reaction, but Caleb had no time to question it. Yes, sir. Caleb left the bridge, rushing back to where he had left Walt. Bending down beside the removed panel, he reached into the crevice for his intellect skin and the microspear. He sprinted forward, past the bridge and the jump seats and down the steps into the hold. He broke to the left to the machine that managed Stacker's powered armor. He looked behind it, finding the power cord for the machine. Instead of the usual setup of a plug fitting into a wall socket, This one worked in reverse. The cord emanated from the wall and plugged into the machine, connecting it to the ship's main power. He dropped the skin on the deck and yanked out the plug, dropping it on the skin, which automatically sensed the charge available through the plug. The nanocell material restructured to wrap itself around the plug and begin pulling in the energy. Caleb ran to the ramp controls, tapping the pad to open the back of the ship before returning to the skin and quickly stripped off his uniform. Naked, he yanked up the skin and pulled it on, sealing the material and pulling the cowl over his head. The system was already up and running, diagnostics showing the skin was charged to 50%. He ran back to the ramp. "Bennett, time?"
10 seconds,
Bennett replied through the comm.
"What the hell did you do, Colonel? I went from 35 to 15% in 20 seconds.
"Consider it a loan," Caleb replied, activating the skin's complete weapon systems. He moved to the edge of the ramp and looked down. The city was zooming past nearly a kilometer beneath him. He shifted his grip on the microspear, waiting until the giant Jaxcluth was in sight. It was still locked in combat with the intellect, trying to reach Sheriff Duke, but unable to get close. Hayden remained motionless and likely unconscious. Or worse.
"I can taste the fear that fills this place. We may have chosen the wrong side."
"No, we haven't," Caleb spat out. Then he jumped.